All right, guys. Bezat Hashem, Siyata Dishmaya, we're here in Ascent in Tzfat Yer HaKodesh. I think this is it's not the first time I'm doing an event. The first shir, official shir, that wasn't infiltrated. This is the Hashem. We want to thank the substitute teacher that's taking over for Ascent that allowed this to happen. And for those of you who requested for it to happen. Bezat Hashem, we have tomorrow night a beautiful holiday coming upon us, which is Tu B'Av.
Mm.
You heard about it? Tu B'Av, which a lot of times is very, very wrongly translated as the Jewish Valentine's Day, right? Which is not far off, besides the fact that we don't want to call our holidays after those that came after ours, for sure, and definitely not after people that were murderous and went around doing massacres in the name of false idols. So we're going to clarify today what's the true meaning of Tu B'Av. What is the work that we have to do? What's happening on this day? What are the opportunities that we have? And why it's so important, and also why it's so hidden. There's two holidays that are two. What's the other one?
Tu
B'Shvat. We're also going to learn how they're connected. One is the inner light and one is the outer light. Which one do you guys guess is the inner light? Tu B'Av is the inner light?
Yeah, the other one's
Tu B'Shvat. Why would you say Tu B'Shvat's the outer light?
Because it's like physical, like the trees and the plants. Is
correct. All fruit, fruition.
Yeah.
Right? And Tu B'Av, Av is the father. So it's a little bit more an internal connection. The Arizal talks a little bit about this, and he just tells us that both of these holidays are connected to what's called Midata Yesod, the sphere of Yesod, which Yesod, in short, right, everything I'm saying obviously now is in short. All of this could be expounded upon much more. But Yesod, in short, out of all the 10 Sfirot, Yesod is a very unique one. That on one hand, it brings together all of the Sfirot that were before it, all of the lights that were coming down of Hashem before it got to the level of what's called Yesod, which in Hebrew means foundation. Before it got to the foundation, all the lights that came before it, right, it's the 9th out of 10 Sfirot. It's the last of the light. Its light is the ability to take all of those unique revelations of Hashem, to bring them together as a recipe, and to give it over to the Malchut, to the fruition, to come out practically in our world. So it's the last stage of light. It's, so to say, the recipe, or maybe the actions of making the cake before you have the cake that comes out of the oven, right? If you want to go to a very physical way of talking about it. Tzfat, by the way, is also Yesod to the Malchut of Yerushalayim. A lot of tzaddikim talk about that there's no way to access Yerushalayim without really going through Tzfat first. Meaning you have to understand where the light is coming from. And that's where it comes to us in our Avodat Hashem as well. Tu B'Av, this light of the Yesod, the foundation, which is also connected to peace, shalom. It's also connected to the Brit, which we'll have to explain how that's connected to women as well. It's also connected to Tikkun HaBrit and Shmirat HaBrit, the covenant that we have with God. Tu B'Av is 40 days before the 25th of Elul. The 25th of Elul is the day that, so to say, the thought of creation and the actions, Bereshit bara Elokim et haShamayim v'et haAretz, that day was the 25th of Elul. What happened 6 days later? Man was created. What day is that in our calendar?
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we don't... Rosh Hashanah is not New Year because it's the first day of creation. It's the day of creation of man, which is the most important part of the creation.
Mm-hmm.
Within the creation, what do we celebrate the most, or what do we remember the most? The day that we were created, the day that the game started, so to say. But if we go back 40 days before the first day of creation, Bereshit Bara, at that moment, 40 days before that, we're at Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av, so to say, then, like we know about a baby being formated in the womb, right? That there's 40 days into it, the soul comes down. The soul comes down into it, and that's why on the 41st day, you have M. M means mother. It's gematria 41. Right? Because after 40 days of the baby being inside there, it got a neshama. And now it's not just a collection of cells. Now it's a baby. Now it's something very, very, very real. And even not to get into it, but even in the halachot of abortions, which, by the way, abortions are not forbidden in Judaism across the board. There are ways that they can happen. Even then, they take into consideration, is the baby within the first 40 days of conception or not? Right? There is this reality that those first 40 days are crucial, like the 40 days of the giving of the Torah. And many different ideas in Judaism come to this idea of 40. Shalom Aleichem, brother. Welcome. So, if this holiday is connected to Yesod, so then what's the Yesod? What's the foundation? Foundation of everything is that this world is not just here and in existence because Hashem is choosing for it to exist at any given moment, that He created it and He's bringing life to it. That's a very important idea. That's a fundamental idea, to know that everything in this world, behind it is always the light of Hashem. But if there's a world, and that's just the foundation of it, so then what's the purpose of the world? To reveal the light of Hashem. To reveal it in this world. And that's why we said, right, the other half of this holiday, we'll get to in a few months, half a year from now, is Tu B'Shvat, where there we talk about fruit, fruition, the actual blessings of the land, the work that we put into the land, what came after the whole entire winter where we didn't see anything, but the sap was changing, and then all of a sudden, now we're tapping into a new energy. So the foundation of everything in our life comes back to Hashem. And this is what Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, that Hashem wanted to make a covenant with Avraham. There's three parts to the covenant. There's two parties, Avram and his children, through Yitzchak and Yaakov, which is us. And the other side is Hashem. We have two things we need to do, and Hashem has one thing He needs to do. He doesn't need to do anything. But in the contract that He created, He has one part that He placed. Like every contract, it's at least two parties. So what is our role? Our role is two things. We have to keep the Torah and sanctify ourselves. We have to go away from idol worship and we have to attach ourselves to Hashem. Sumira asetov, like Shlomo HaMelech said, right? Or David HaMelech, whoever one you want to give the credit to. Go away from evil and do good. The Baal Shem Tov said famously, switch the way of Avodah, do good, and naturally, you'll have less time to do bad. Like the Rebbe Lubavitch Zatzal said, a little bit of light pushes away a lot of darkness. So, in our life, what is the number one thing that we can engage with? 365 negative commandments of the Torah. 365 things that the Torah said, Adrayd, you have no business going there. Not because there's no God that can be found there, not because the thing is void of godliness, it's nothing. No, could be that thing is filled with sparks and you're going to feel very good engaging with it. And you might even find God there, still not permitted to go there. As a Jew, the Torah said, these are not shayach to you, have no relation to these 365 things. The way you elevate the sparks there, by not doing it, by not engaging with it. And then there's the idea of connecting to God. There's an idea in Chazal that says, Kadesh Tatzmecha b'mutar lach. Sanctify yourself by way of the things that are permitted to you. There's two ways you can understand that. One way is, which is the most common way Baalei Tshuva hear it, you're allowed to do a lot of things in life, sanctify yourself and don't do them. Right? In the secular world you have this as well. In the non-religious world you also have this. That a person wants to grow, so they say, okay, I'm not going to do this behavior, I am going to do this behavior. Right? I'm allowed to, but I'm on a diet now, I don't want to, so I'm not going to have that thing, because it's against my values and my principles right now. Sanctify yourself, even though the thing's permitted. If For example, sleep, eating, beauty. All these different ideas that they're completely permissible. No one, nowhere in the Torah says it's forbidden to eat. The opposite. Sometimes we're commanded to eat. When we're commanded, it's a mitzvah. When we're not commanded, it's just life that we need to get through life. So then it's already an idea that we have to sanctify ourselves there. So one way you can do it is cutting down on indulgence in all of those permissible things that are not holy inherently. You cut down on them. How much do you indulge in physicality? How much do you need physicality? How much do you believe in the physicality? Cut down all of those ideas. The other side of Kadesh Tatzmecha B'Mutalach, sanctify yourself by way of what's permitted to you, is when you go to engage with something that's permitted to you, connect to Hashem. You're already doing something in this world. Why though? Because you felt like eating chocolate? You only felt like eating chocolate because Hashem wanted you to connect to Him and say a bracha and to enjoy it. Like the Arizal says, the most important intention when eating is to be happy that you have food. And Hashem is giving you sustenance right now. You can already be a Kabbalist at that. You want to be a student of the Arizal? Be happy while you're eating. You're already there. So those are two ways we can sanctify ourselves. You got it, MJ? You remember them? You say it?
Working on it. Be happy while you eat.
No, what are the two ways we sanctify ourselves? Which is true. You're not saying, you didn't say anything wrong, but I want to say it with clarity. One, so we have two parts of our contract of the Brit. Our side of the covenant with God is, one, don't engage with anything the Torah told you outright not to do. 365 negative commandments. Don't go there. That's the first thing. Meaning, we have to say this. If a person really wants, and we all want in our generation, we're going to touch on it soon, but we all want in our generation deep, deep, deep connection with God. We're all seeking experience beyond just following a book of laws. We're going to touch on it soon. We're all seeking that. How can you seek that if you're engaging with things that the same source you're trying to connect to told you outright they're going to be a problem for you to connect to me if you're busy with these things? Those are the 365 negative commandments. Meaning, if you're doing these things intentionally, by will, again, we're all on our level, we're all growing on our own personal journeys, we're all getting better and better and better. But there are certain things in the Torah. One, there's just blanket across the board, there's 365 things we can't do. Within them, there's different levels of, if you're doing those things, it's almost impossible to connect to God in a pure way. Everybody's on their journey, but there's certain things that are just like, right? Shabbat. Shabbat is a huge thing. Shabbat is testifying God created the world. If you can't do that, how are you really going to grow in your relationship with Hashem? Again, not judging anybody. All my life didn't keep Shabbat. It's okay. We're all growing and we're all trying to, but we have to also understand that we're dealing with a God. It's not just what we want. In our generation, we're approaching it very much from what we want. And that's not necessarily bad. There's something much bigger going on. But we have to know, if we're engaged in the 365 things, we have things that are blocking us from connecting to Hashem, which brings us joy and clarity and good vibes and blessings in our life. The next thing is to sanctify yourself. Two ways to do it. One, when you have the opportunity to do something that you're not commanded to do, it's just permissible, it's optional. Question whether you need it or not. I saw once a Talmid Chacham that was a CEO of a company turned down 12 million shekel investment. Why? Don't need it. We're raising money anyway. This guy just wants to be connected to an investment. What? No. I'm a Ben Torah. I don't just need money. I need money if it's a proper investment with it. A partnership, something's going to come out of it. You just want your name connected to my company? 12 million? I was in the car like, are you serious right now? Are you serious? But I also, here I am, years later, telling you guys the story. That's how much it made an impression on me. Why? I'm a Ben Torah. Why do I need his 12 million? I'm trying to raise $100 million right now in San Francisco. Do I need his from Ramat Gan? Just don't need it. So too, do you need the chocolate? Do you need another hour of sleep? Do you need to hit snooze? Do you need to go watch that thing? Do you need to do that thing? To engage with that thing? Drink another cup? Have another L'chaim? Do you really need it? Sanctify yourself by way of what's permissible to you. And the other side of that is, if you're already going to have the L'chaim, and if you're already going to have a steak, a juicy steak, and you spend extra money on it, So then say a bracha with all your heart and know that there's sparks of Hashem inside of that thing. And that's what you're really, truly, truly seeking. Not the physical thing. Not the l'chaim, not the dead cow on the plate, not the salad, whatever it is that you enjoy eating. It's not that, the physical thing. You're seeking out Hashem. So already connect to yourself by way, sanctify yourself by way of what's permitted to you. It's not a mitzvah. You could make it kadosh. That's the whole entire idea of Klipat Noga. You could elevate it and it could become kadosh. A simple act that you do, you make it holy. Take out the garbage. Okay, I'm taking out the garbage right now because I want to keep Shalom Bayit in my house and have a holy Mishkan that's clean and not filled with pollution. Taking out the garbage just became a mitzvah d'oraita. That's Judaism. That's the Torah that we had always and always and always until Galut. We've been in Galut for a long time, and a lot of the halacha and the instructions that we receive have become very checkbox, check, I did it, I have to pray Mincha, I have to do this still, I still have to make Birkat HaMazon, not I get to make Birkat HaMazon, I have the opportunity to do a mitzvah and connect myself to Hashem by way of four paragraphs. These are mindsets that we need to switch. You guys came to Tzfat, all of you here. You didn't go to Yerushalayim and you didn't go to Tel Aviv. You came here. You might have gone to those places as well, but you're here right now, what for? If there's anything you come to Tzfat to seek, it's Kedusha. It's holiness on a high level. In Yerushalayim, you have the history, you have the glory, the revelation, like we talked about, the Malchut. But if you want that inner aspect, that Yesod, the light that comes before it came into the world, you know to come to Tzfat. But what else was written in Tzfat? Shulchan Aruch. Mm-hmm. Shulchan Aruch is not a book that is a bunch of do's and don'ts. We are in a generation where we're so removed of prophetic Judaism that we all read about. If you read the Tanakh and then you read our daily lives, in our generation, our age, it's starting to come back closer. But our parents and the ones before, two different Judaisms. Why? Because throughout our exile, we lost this connection to what's called Kiddushah, sanctity, holiness. Like, for example, in the Torah, when a person was told back in the biblical times, you're not allowed to make a garment that has wool and flax together, they didn't think, oh God, I have to now, if I go shopping, I have to take it to get it checked for shotness and to see if it's kosher to wear and does it have a kosher stamp inside. No, it was like, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. These are two very powerful threads. Right, with a lot of frequency, a lot of holiness inside of them, and if you mix them, it can cause a very improper reaction in this world. It was like a known thing. Don't plow your field with a bull, with an ox, and with a donkey. Why? Why not? No one asked that question back then. Because an ox is an ox, and it comes with its own energy and kedusha, sanctity, revelation of Hashem that an ox carries. And a donkey also has one. And they don't mix well together. So you can't do it. It wasn't a chidush when Moshe Rabbeinu said these things. Everybody in the world, including the Jewish people, knew of these realities. Now it's some rule that we received from 3,000 years ago and we're like, oh, okay, I can't do it. Right? So we're here, we're talking about farming and shadness, a little bit less relevant to our day-to-day. But so too, washing your hands in the morning because you have a spirit of death on your hands. And the longer you wait in your bed without washing your hands, the worse your day is going to be. It's not a curse. It's a reality of nature that in halacha they try to open your eyes to. Guys, pay attention to this point. It's a real reality. You should wash your hands when you wake up in the morning. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do anything. If you want to sanctify your life, the mundane things of your life, then we have what's called halacha, walking with God. Walking with God, that's what the book is called. And the first halacha there, after waking up in dawn, in order to start your day before the day starts, is to focus on God in every single thing that you're doing, in your thoughts, speech, and action. And when you do that, even in the mundane, you can go to the mall with your girlfriends. But there's a way to talk there, there's a way to act there. And you can go play basketball with your friends. There's also a way to talk there. Because you're hanging out with your guys now, Hashem's not there, you can start to curse, you can start to speak in different ways that are not the same ways you would talk in the Beit Midrash. No, sanctify yourself by way of what's permitted to you. So that's our side. What's God's side? What did Hashem say to Avram in the Brit? I will be for you and your offspring as a God. And he used the word Elohim. Elohim is nature. Meaning, if you do this, if you and your children, Avram, go away from these 365 negative things, and then look at everything permissible in the world as one, do I need to engage in this thing right now, and how much do I? And when I go to do it, I'm going to do it in a holy, connected way. If you do that for the rest of generations, I'll keep my side, which is to show up in Elohim, to show up in nature, to show up in your everyday life. That everything you're going through, you're going to feel me there walking with you. You're going to feel like that action is completely connected to me. Everything I'm saying to you is very foreign to 80-85% of the rabbis in the world across. And it's not a knock to them. This is a result of the galut. For whatever reason, Hashem decided to put me in Sfat, and here I discover what's really written in the books. Not what you get up to say just in front of a crowd that showed up to pray Mincha or Shabbat. This is the whole entire meeting. This is the whole entire idea. This is who we are in the world. We were sent here to be the people that have physicality and sanctify it. And we also have things we cannot do, and we have things that we're commanded to do. We have to do all of that together. And that's the Yisod. That's the foundation of everything. That if at our core we know, one, not only that the world lives by way of the light of Hashem and is in existence, chayut, right? That it lives by way of the light of Hashem, but that I'm here in order to reveal Hashem. So then there's no such thing as a mundane action. There's no such thing as just going, a man that goes to show up to work when he's married. And even when he's not married. When he's married, he's keeping his ketubah. His ketubah is a marriage contract that was told that this is the way you have to live your life. What's the most important mitzvah in the whole entire Torah? To bring children into the world and to have a continuation. That's the most important thing in the whole entire thing you can do in your life. Is to get married and to have children. To bring more people in the world that connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. More revelation in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. More fruits in the world for Tu Bishvat. That's the number one thing in the world. And when I do all of these things in that way that I want to reveal, I'm here not just to know that God created the world. I have a mission to reveal Hashem in my own personal life. And by way of doing that, I will reveal it in the whole entire world. This is how we connect everything back. The downside of Yesod is when we have connection to negative things. When I look into the world, right, and there's a certain belief, a person, an institute, a food, a medicine, a mitzvah, that I make too much out of it, I make it into the ikar, I make it in that into the foundation, so then that's what's called fallen yesod. The foundation, I'm no longer looking at Hashem, I'm looking at the externalities. And again, and it could be something that's forbidden, it could be something that's permissible, and it could be something that's commanded to you as well. If a person makes their whole entire life tefillin on account of everything else, they miss the whole entire point. A person could keep the whole entire Torah, and tefillin is very, very important to them, very special mitzvah for them. The second tefillin becomes everything more than God. Or showing up to pray mincha because you were commanded to, but you didn't think about God once while you were saying the words. So you're missing the point. Foundations are messed up. None of us are here to just follow books and become robots and just check V's. We're here to live lives connected to God. The only way to do that is to have this mindset that there is a foundation. There's 40 days before creation. There's a light that came down before anything became real, before anything was created, before anything was brought into the world. And that's what I'm always trying to connect to in my mind, in my speech, and in my action, to reveal Hashem. We all engage with the physical world, each one on their own level, in their own ways, in the permissible things and the forbidden things. We all do it. Once you go through this, and you really understand this message and this idea, so then even your sins become holy. Not that you're allowed to do them. But a person that sins, knowing that he's really seeking out Hashem, this happens to be where he fell right now. But what did I want? I wanted connection. I was seeking out connection. I didn't understand how to bring it out into this world. I didn't understand how to do it in the proper way. I got lost my mind for a moment. I felt a place that I shouldn't be. But what did I want? I was seeking out Hashem, because all I ever am seeking out as a human being with a Jewish soul is Hashem. It gets messed up in this world and it comes out in funny ways sometimes. And sometimes it comes out in very holy ways. And in our generation, you can leave Shacharit, Tzadik Yesod Olam, and 20 minutes later, you're in the biggest klipa in the world. That wasn't like that in previous generations. It was not the case. Only in our generation it's like that. Such extremities in one person in such short amount of time. And both feel completely true. Right? Like Rivka said, what was her consolement? That it's two babies. God forbid, I'm going to have one kid that wants to do Avodah Zarah and to be Kadosh. That was her worst dream. Once Shem Ve'ever, she came here to Tzfat, to the Beit Mizrash Shem Ve'ever, and they told her, no, it's twins. Okay, well, one's a Rasha, one's a Tzaddik. It's not bipolar. Our generation, we're all messed up. We're all bipolar. We all want to be Kadosh, and we also don't want to keep Halacha. We also don't want to learn. We also don't want to follow the rules. Halacha is going to be the number one way you get to Kedusha. Halacha is the letters Hakala. The Kala, the bride. Who's the bride? The Shekhinah. And that brings us to the next thing that happened on Tu B'Av. On Tu B'Av, the girls would go out to the Kramim, to the vineyards. They would say, Bachuhu Sana Enecha. Jewish boy, lift up your eyes and pick. What do you want? The Mishnah lists three types of girls. There was the beautiful girls that say, boys, pick. Take the beauty. And there was girls that would say, don't put your eyes on the beauty, pick the family. I come from a family, we have money, we have a name, we're stable. And then the Mishnah says, the mechuarot, the ugly girls, they would say, take what you need to take, l'shem shamayim, just bathe us with gold, shower us with golden gifts. Sounds like a pretty bad situation to be in. And I'm not beautiful. I don't come from a good family. Just take me for the sake of heaven and just make sure you give me gold materialism. Give me gold gifts. So we have to understand these three levels and we have to break them down. Chassidut teaches to take all of the things that we learn, not to remove them from their pshat, but to understand how I meant to take this lesson and to apply it to my Avodat Hashem personally. So first things first, the girls of Jerusalem, that's the Shekhinah. It's the Shekhinah Kedusha, the revelation of the presence of Hashem in this world. We'll go out to the Kerem, the vineyard, that's the souls of Israel, and say, Bachur. Bachur means chosen. It also means lad, boy. It means chosen. Chosen one of Hashem. Lift up your eyes. There's beauty in our relationship with Hashem. There's beauty in our lives. You can connect from that. There's Yichus, we come from a beautiful tradition, we come from a beautiful people. There's that connect to as well. That comes with obviously all of the fruit and the culture and everything that comes out in Yiddishkeit. And then there's a stage that we feel ugly. We feel like we don't have anything. We don't have the looks, we don't have the family. I look at myself like the spies, right? They came to Israel and they got scared. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw themselves as unworthy to live in such a holy place. So then other people saw them like that as well. So there was a certain group that Chazal was trying to teach us of people that are mechuarot, that they feel like they're ugly. They feel like they're lacking. They feel like they don't have what to give. They feel like they're not unique. They feel like they don't have something special. And they would say, do it l'shem shamayim. Let's get married for the sake of heaven. Because Hashem said, let's do it for connection, for pure connection. Just make sure you shower me with golden gifts. What's that? What she's asking just for materialism? Showering with golden gifts, to be crowned with gold, is the idea that let's do it l'shem shamayim, let's get married for the sake of heaven. Again, you're not going to get much out of me like the other girls on the market or whatever, but if you can marry me for the sake of heaven and you can make it special, you can yearn, bina, kisufim, Shtokikut Zahav, you can bring gold, you can bring precious gems, you can bring value into the relationship. That's already amazing. And that's a lesson for all of us. When we're on our low level, we feel ugly, so to say, we feel unworthy, and we still show up to do Avodat Hashem, we still show up to pray, we still show up to do the mitzvah, we still smile at the person, we still tolerate their nonsense, we still give them patience, we evoke godly energy into the world, even when we feel ugly, even when we feel not worthy, even when we don't feel like doing it, we do it for the sake of heaven, but we believe it's worth gold. It's showering with gold. We're bringing gold into the relationship. We're bringing our yearning and meaning and its value into the Lashem Shamayim. I don't see how something's going to come out of it. Hashem told me to do it. I'm going to do it. But not just do it. I'm going to do it with passion. Then that's already a level where I'm not going to give up. Ein shum yaush. I won't have despair on that level. Because, yeah, so what if I don't feel worthy? There's a level on that too. And the truth is, when a person feels that they're not worthy and they still show up to do, even more so if they add passion and they add their heart into it, that's the biggest schut you could ever reach in your life. To feel unworthy and to still show up to represent the King in the world. You're Shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're Hashem's messenger. The uniform you're wearing says God on it. I am God's messenger. When I wear it, when I'm tzanua, when I eat kosher, and I walk into a supermarket and I just look at the box to see if it has the Jew tax on it, right? Just that simple motion of seeing if that OU is there, or that Ada, or whatever it is, you just crowned yourself with the crown of Hashem over you, in Publix, in Walgreens, wherever you were, in the supermarket. It's not a small thing, but are you happy about it? When's the last time you checked the Eksher, Ariella, and you were happy that you did that? Ever?
Probably not.
But do you know now, do you understand after this, that if you were to be happy, now you just sanctified a very mundane action, which is not really mundane. It's technically a mitzvah, but it's become so mundane. We know we have to do it. I can't eat this unless some rabbi approved of it. No. I only want to put inside my body something that will bring me closer to Hashem and not take me away from it. And therefore, I want to check if this is something fitting to go inside my temple. And when I check and I see that it is, I'm happy. When I check and I see that it's not, I'm happy. I just did a mitzvah. I just connected to God through a food. It's an important thing. And that's how we make peace between heaven and earth. Achid Shmaya V'Ara. To unify the heavens and the earth. It's a big principle that we have to try to get to every single day in our life. That was our goal. The people in the east, they negate the world and they try to attach to whatever they're attaching to. They're trying to attach to anything. They're trying to get rid of everything that they're attached to, just to be whatever that means. But there's nothing above. So there is no 40 days before. There is no yesod. There is no foundation. There is no new sap that's coming inside the tree. There's no yesod. There's no inner light. And in the West, they're only on the malchut. They're only on the fruition, on take and take and more and more and indulge in the physical with nothing spiritual as well. So there they negate the physical, there they indulge in the physical, and the Jew is meant to be in the middle, knowing the physical is not the tachlit, it's not the purpose. It's not the purpose. This physical world is not the purpose. The purpose of the physical world is to reveal the true inner reality of Hashem Yitbarach in the world. And that has to be done through all of our actions, our holy actions, our mundane actions, and if you do those two properly, even your sins will become holy. Even your mess-ups will become holy. Even the times that you went after your heart and your eyes will bring you back to Hashem in the end. Because you'll realize, I just went after a spark. Or what I thought was a spark. It was just a spark, and I felt horrible 2 minutes after engaging with it. What if I would focus on going after the source? All I ever wanted was the source. So there's sparks in tefillin, and in Torah and Mitzvot and Tefillah and all those things, there's a very high sparks there, and that's the number one way to work on all of this, is to download the relationship with Hashem when you are already doing something holy. Learning Torah, praying, you're keeping Shabbat, do whatever it is, you're already engaged with the mitzvah, believe in it and do it to connect to Hashem, not because the Shulchan Aruch said to do it. Not because any rabbi, Moshe Rabbeinu, and anybody after him told you to do it. Do it because Hashem said to do it. And Hashem is the giver of the Torah. And if you can do it then, so then when you leave the Beit Midrash, when you leave Shacharit, when you leave Mincha, and you go to eat food, or do business, or do business with a goy in the regular world, person that has no comprehension of your inner world, you're still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're still there. You're still right in front of Hashem. There is no difference between the shul and your office. There is no difference at all. Besides that, the halachot tell you, if you want to have higher levels of sanctity, treat this building that's called the Beit Knesset with higher levels of sanctity and respect and awe. That when you walk into it, you'll feel that. And this is what we have to do also, as whenever we talk about relationships, which that's what was going on these days. And another thing that happened was that there was, once the kingdom split between Judah and Israel, the northern 10 tribes and the few tribes that were in the south, in Yerushalayim. So at a certain point, the kings of the northern tribe blocked the way to Har HaBayit. The people couldn't make Aliyah LaRegel. People couldn't come 3 times a year to Jerusalem. And on Tu B'Av, all of the preventions and all of the blockages on the road to Jerusalem were removed. Meaning, we have an opportunity now, on Tu B'Av, each one of us in our own personal Avodat Hashem, to ascend to Jerusalem. The blockages are being removed tomorrow night. Each one of us in a certain level, each one of us in our own unique way. It's a day that whatever happened in the past is happening again in the present. It's a day that the gates get opened. The tribes can marry one another. Another thing that they say happened on this day. At a certain point that intertribal marriages were not allowed. And on this day, also another thing, meaning we're coming into a state of unity. And how could I have unity? The temples were destroyed because of Sinat Chinam, right? And every generation that the temple is not built means that they're still responsible for the destruction of the temple. We don't want to die being a generation that was still responsible for the destruction. As if we were the ones that broke it. We're the ones that got it destroyed. We want to be the generation that sees it being rebuilt. By the way, we don't need Mashiach to make that happen. Mm. It's a mitzvah in the Torah to build the temple with or without a Mashiach. Part of having the temple is the Mashiach will come afterwards with a whole bunch of lights and fill it up with the light of Hashem. But we have an obligation to build it. But one thing's for sure, we can't build one unified house with Hashem if we still see so much multiplicity and machloket and disagreements externally between all of us. Each one of us has to be different, right? There's those of us with beauty, there's those of us with family, there's those of us without looks, with looks, with, doesn't matter, we're all different. Some of us Sephardi, Ashkenazi, Hasidic, Litvak, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We all have to know we're unified in Hashem. But if a person doesn't have their own personal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem, with the Source, with their own Chelek Elohami Mamal Mamash, their own soul that they have, so how can you appreciate the soul in someone else? If you don't know what makes you special, unconditionally loved by the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that no matter what you do, no matter what you do, you're still beloved and welcome and wanted, and how could you look at another person with those same eyes? Everything about them is different. Everything about them says, I'm not you. Accent, behavior, smell, everything about them. There's one thing that unifies, and that's our souls. That they're all rooted in the same place, and that we all have the same goal, to reveal Hashem in this world. And that's the only way you can make real peace. Shalom is two opposites coming together. Two things that are different coming together for one unified purpose. That's Yerushalayim. When you can ascend to Yerushalayim, Ira Shalem, to a complete level of awareness. Ira is awe, awareness of Hashem. Shalem is Shlemut, is wholesomeness. We want to be able that when we look in this world, we're seeing with whole eyes, not with Ra, with Ayin Ra. What's evil eye? Ra means fragmented. That's what it really means. It doesn't mean evil. It means fragment. A ro'eh is a shepherd. Why? Because the flock is a bunch of individual sheep that he's, as one person, unifies all of them. We have soon Elul, we're going to be blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Teruah is one of the sounds of the shofar, one of the three sounds of the shofar, and it's the one that is most fragmented. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Why? Together, it's called Teruah. The shepherd unifies. V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. You shall love your bad like you. That's what it means. You shall love your bad like you love yourself. I call my wife Rayati. She's my bad. piece of me. It's a fragment of me. So when I look in the world with an ayin ra, with a negative eye, I'm looking at a world with a fragmented eye. I see one picture, but I forget that there's a back end. There's a spiritual back end, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's making everything make sense at every given moment, and I will never understand that. I'll never, ever, ever, ever be able to understand Hashem. No human being ever will. Not Mashiach, not Moshe Rabbeinu, not Shlomo HaMelech, and definitely not us. Why definitely not us? Because we're not those people. And we're just every human being. We're not going to get there. One thing's for sure, though, Hashem is always talking to us and revealing to us. And talking through us and talking around us and showing up in our lives. When we have Yirah Shalem, when we have awe, complete awareness of Hashem, that Hashem can be everywhere, not just in the Beit Midrash, not just in the holy things, in the mundane things, in the physical things, and even again, the things that the Torah said not to do. Again, I'm not repeating this in order that we have permission to go do this. First of all, I'm not a person to give permission or not to give permission. And second, chas v'shalom, to tell a person to go against the Torah. But God forbid also to believe that a person can engage with something in this world and Hashem wasn't there. Chas v'shalom. And chas v'shalom to think that a person, especially a Jew, desires to do something that is not connecting to Hashem. All we want to do is connect to Hashem. It comes out in different ways in this world. We each have our ego and we each have our things that we're attached to. And our goal is to grow more and more to purify our eyes and our heart and to strengthen our greed, our covenant with Hashem by not doing the things the Torah told us not to do, by sanctifying everything else we're allowed to do, and then Hashem shows up in our life. That's the goal. That's the mission statement for Avraham Avinu. Guard your breed. Guard your covenant with me. You and your offspring after you. That's all the Hashem wanted of the Jewish people. Engage in this way in a holy way. Don't do the things I told you not to do, and I'll show up in your life. He's there either way. But if you want it on the level of Gilui Elokim, that Hashem shows up in nature, He shows up in your day-to-day, that's the only way. It's the only way. And I want to touch on this idea just to finish off with this. I've been learning more and more about this. I've had it on my mind for a long time, but recently I came across teachings that kind of really organized it in my mind, and I feel comfortable just mentioning the idea shortly. There's been three main tshuva waves that we've had since the 60s. Since 1967, once we conquered Yerushalayim, the world woke up, right? The Western world started doing trippy drugs, and yoga and meditation and music festivals and love movements, right? They didn't want war. And the Jews started to wake up to connect to Hashem in a much more serious way. That generation, they left their mundane, physical, secular lives and completely became Haredi or whatever they became, to the point that you have no idea that they're a Baal Tshuva. You had no idea that they had a previous life. They took on the role so well, they gave up everything that was to such a point. And it was very strong in halacha, laws, and proving the Torah is right. And this is the... Correct, right? Proving the Torah is true or not and everything. That was their generation. That's how they aroused to Hashem. The generation after them did the similar thing, but they held on to their expression. Those are the musicians that we have, like Eviatar Banai, a little bit older, the 90s Israeli singers, that most of them later in their life connected more to Torah, but they stayed the musician that they were. They'll still go perform the same songs that they made before they did Tshuva, because that's me. But they lived in completely Haredi neighborhoods and completely adapted, and their life was... And that's most of the people that are 25 and older, those were our teachers, kind of. Right, them and the ones before. And a lot of the rabbis and rebbetzins in yeshivas and seminaries across the world are from those first two groups. But now what's happening in our generation? Everything we just talked about in the talk. In our generation, we have people. Everybody in this room is like this, including myself. I'm a little bit more of a... I can't speak on you guys, but I'm speaking personally about myself. I'm a little bit of a blend between the last two groups. I'm very heavily inspired by the first group. Mm. But our present generation, most of you in the room, and definitely the majority of my thousands of followers online that watch the classes are the group that is seeking out Kiddusha in a very, very strong way. Experience, and also a thing that we didn't say about the previous, the middle group, the second group, is that they went for their, both groups didn't find Kiddusha, they didn't find holy experiences in Judaism. Mm-hmm. That wasn't their approach. Like we said about the first group, was proving Judaism. It wasn't about feeling. It was like, this is the truth, this is what we're meant to do. We're Jews, we were just slaughtered across the world, we can't give up on this, this is the proof of getting back to the Nazis, we're going to embrace our Judaism, we're going to live Jewish lives. But they didn't have trips, they didn't have very trippy or a path into Judaism or very expressive. They didn't have that. The second generation, they had those experiences by going to the East or by experiencing Buddhism or yoga or any of these things. But when they came to their life, I can't become a, some of them did, but those that did tshuva, they're like, okay, I'm going to do yoga in my room by myself because yoga might be avodah zarah. I purified it. I don't connect to all those things, but I can't do it in public. Now in our generation, people want high levels of experience, come to Tzfat and trip out and this and all the psychedelics that are going around the world right now. All of the, sorry I'm saying this, but it, I'm not meaning in a negative way once you understand the generation. The cheap cutting corners, Shabbat experiences that are, you know, it's not, there's no Kiddusha there. It's like lights, 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 but it's not, it's like cutting a lot of corners. It's hard to even sometimes call those things Shabbat. Where's all this coming from? The need to feel in a strong way, but we also all need in our generation identity. You need to belong to something. And when you grow up as a Jew, especially in a generation like ours where we're being trashed left and right, so especially if you live amongst the non-Jews, you want to embrace your Judaism. But then you look out and you're like, okay, what, so I'm going to be a Zionist? Like, that's my Judaism, comes down to a flag and the flag that cherry, tomato, and ways. Like, that's my connection. That's what my meaning in life is. You see a lot of people doing it, but then they're busy just fighting with goys all day long. Like, that's their Judaism, is defending Israel, and we have the right to exist, as if we have to walk around explaining to people why we shouldn't be killed. It's a very shallow level. Then you have the seekers, the ones that show up to actually learn. They want all the chassidut and the Kabbalah, but then you tell them, hey, you know, you kind of have to follow these rules if you want to really experience these things. Nah, until I understand it, until... Nah, those are, you know, I like Kabbalah, I don't like Halakha. Forgetting both of those teachings developed here in the city together by friends all hanging out together. Mm-hmm. Yosef Karo, who wrote Shulchan Aruch, has another book called Magid Mesharim. A Magid is an angel that came to talk to him for over 20 years and teach him Torah and teach him things about the generation, about himself, about things he should teach the Jewish people. He wrote both books. He was hanging out with Kabbalists and he was learning, he was a Kabbalist himself. These things are inherently connected. In our generation, the problem is, though, that the previous two generations are teaching us halacha. The previous two tshuva movements, the people that want to still help people do tshuva and come closer, they're stuck in proving the Torah is right, and this action is forbidden, this is the right way to do it. If you don't do it this way, then it's not counts, and it doesn't... You resonate, you see all the three generations in me, right? We learn a lot. So. Our generation is seeking out Kiddush on a high level. The true answer is, we want to feel, we want the experience. The problem that we have when we look at halacha is that we think it's a checklist of what to do and what to not to do. When really what it is the guide of how to find all of that Kiddusha you're seeking in every single thing you do in your life. God forbid to think that halacha is the framework, is purely the framework that tells you what to do from the moment you wake up, the first words that come out of your mouth, how quickly you have to wash your hands, and what way you wash your hands, until you go to sleep, and which side of the bed you should be sleeping on, and what side of your body you should be sleeping on. It does all of that, but that's not the goal. The goal was, you're a Jew in Galut for 2,000 years, you've lost all of your spiritual, holy, experiential ways, you don't know any of those things anymore. Here's a guideline of how you can find it. But in Galut, we were just told, this is the book of what you have to do and you don't do. This is how to be a Jew. No. This was the tool of starting to understand what it means to be a Jew. That when I wake up in the morning and I wash my hands and I say blessings and I go to put my shoes on and I put the right shoe in first and then the left shoe and then I tie the left and then I tie the right, that wasn't because some rabbi was bored and told you, or God cares so much about the shoes. It was for you, a tool to understand what is right, what is left, how to make them work together. What is giving? What is limitations? They're for us. God doesn't need anything.
Aren't they like the so dope to power to be the most like awake and...
That's exactly what we're saying. But what is that? We don't have a... By the way, there's no word in Hebrew for experience until 100 years ago in the Zionist movement. Chavaya. Chavaya is Chaim, and Hoveh is presence. Mixed together, it became Chavaya. Which, by the way, in Aramaic is Chavya is the snake. What's the actual word in Lashon HaKodesh? Nevuah. Prophecy. Prophecy. That is experience. What is it? When a Jew becomes a vessel for the light of God to rest inside of him and then be revealed into the world. We're all seeking that out. It cannot come on account of not keeping halacha. It can't. Every single messianic movement in the past 2,000 years that was detached from halacha, what do we say about it? Yimach shimo v'zech zichro. Our goal in our generation, which that was the best example of how it's meant to be, is unifying the hardcore Mashiach, Kedusha, Nevuah energy with no settlement at all on halacha and tradition. That's what Mashiach's going to be. That's what we're all waiting for. A Mashiach that's detached of the Mesoret, of the tradition of the Jewish people through the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't want that. That's what's called Christianity. I'm not interested at all in being there. On the other hand, a tradition that's completely, did you do the halacha exactly how it was meant to do and check this and that and not that, that, that. Did you pray today or not? But you didn't pray to God. You definitely didn't connect to God. He just wants to know if, did you stand there and read 100 pages in the morning with a dead cow on your arm and your head and a sheep wrapped around you and the trees and ink in front of you? Did you do that for an hour this morning? That also is a failure. And the outcome, if you go too much to that extreme, is a JC. Our goal and what we're trying to go through is the middle. Is the middle path, like the Yesod, the balance where I know there's a physical action that needs to be done, and it is one completely with the spiritual inner reality that's behind it. I need to learn about the spiritual reality, and I need to know how to do it in the world completely according to the desire and the will of the Creator. That's too bad. A touch into the Yesod and the inner lights. There's something beyond this world. There's something before even the sap that's in the tree, and way before the fruits. There's the light of Hashem. It's the light of Hashem. That's what's bringing the world to existence, and that's what's meant to be revealed in the world. That practically, when I show up to a place and I speak, or I act, or I feel, all of those will reveal Hashem is here. Ola goyim. How are you going to be Ola goyim if you don't have Ola yourself? If you don't know what the Ola is yourself? The light is not Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael has no light. We're the Malchut. We're Knesset Yisrael. We're the Shekhinah. We have nothing. We're a vessel. The light is Hashem's light. And if for Hashem's light to come out in a way without halacha, we can't choose to do that. And we can't want to be part of that. But to do, prepare all the vessels of halacha and to never think about the light of Hashem, that's also not the goal. The goal is to live light with vessels, vessels with light. Zat Hashem, new opportunities, our preventions are being removed. We're coming together. Another thing that the girls of Jerusalem, which is the Jewish people, would do, would they would dance in machol, in circles, right? The same dance we still have. What's the idea of dancing in a circle? Everybody's equal. Mm. Everybody can see each other. It's not lines. It's not a square. You're not at the corner. You're not. It's a circle. We can all look at each other in the face, and we all know the light is coming down to us in the same level of unity. Deep, deep things talked about this in Kabbalah from the Arizal as well. What are the circles? Versus the straight line. The circle is everything in the world. It's fed completely by the light of Hashem. If I can say it in more modern words that you'll understand it, the song of Zusha, Sovev Kol Almin, Mimale Kol Almin. Right? So, Mimale Kol Almin, that's the light that each one of us has, that you fill into my world, you fill up my world. But Sovev Kol Almin, there's a light that surrounds everything, and it's equal to every single thing in creation. That's the light of Hashem that's beyond everything that's limited in this world. Nothing to fill. Surrounding everything. Everything can be connected back to Hashem. If you just believe it, and then act that way. Zat Hashem. Thank you for making this happen.